are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Tuesday, March the 31st, and more on the 1990 NBA Finals in a 2K tournament for the pros. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press and PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast during the NBA shutdown as we deal with the coronavirus and all of the things that come along with that in today's American and global life as well. But today we're going to talk about the NBA going to host a 2K tournament, players only, and I'm going to wildly speculate on who the Piston might be that joins that tournament. And I went scientific on it. I made up a rubric and everything. So indulge me and listen to that. We've got part two of our interview and discussion and confab with Mike Richman, the host of Locked On Blazers. We had more to say about Game 5 of the 1990 NBA Finals. Part one of that discussion was on Monday's podcast. Be sure to check that out. We're also going to wrap it up with a Dwayne Casey quote that surprised me the other day. And also an interesting thing that Ed Stefanski said recently in the media as well. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. But Chris Haynes of Yahoo reporting that there's going to be a 2K tournament featuring NBA players playing it from home, and you can watch it on ESPN. At first, he reported that each team is expected to have a representative in it, and then added later on clarity that it would be a 16-player NBA 2K tournament lasting 10 days. Now, where I'm from, when you have something that's incorrect and you correct it, you call that a correction, but apparently just clarity works in today's journalistic world. I know, call me old school, but when you make a mistake, to me, you say it's a correction. And not a clarification, which is when you have information that could cause confusion and you want to further clarify that with a clarification as opposed to having information that's incorrect and you're fixing it. That's called a correction. But anyway, DeMarcus Cousins and Damian Dotson are two players that will be included in the tournament, as has been reported late on Monday night. But it got me thinking, if there is a Piston, because I kind of came up with this topic when it was said that there would be one player from every NBA team, so maybe there won't be a Piston at all. But indulge me for the purposes of this exercise. Who would that Piston be? My first guess was Svi Mykhailiuk, because I did a story on him this year, and he told me about all the video games that he plays. But then I had one of you guys reach out to me on Twitter and speculate that maybe it was Christian Wood. He hate me with on Twitter, Anti Bizzle, on the Twitter handle there. So Christian Wood being the guess by He Hate Me, saying he was recovered from COVID, so of course he was probably in the house playing video games, just like Dwayne Casey said he was, a budding star, and hypothesis that he definitely plays 2K. Obviously, it'd be the NBA's best interest to put the more notable names out there, and maybe Christian Wood is the kind of guy who might get a little bit of notoriety and be someone that the league might want to market a little bit. And like you said, being that they had COVID, that he had the coronavirus, that maybe that would be a little bit of a feel-good story if he was able to come back and play in this tournament. But I wanted to make a whole mess out of this whole thing, so I put together a rubric, and we're going to try to figure this out scientifically. So I got to thinking, like, what are the qualities of someone that makes them a good video game player? And let's come up with a point system and figure out who would be the choice. So I think back to my childhood, and I was the youngest of three boys, and I hate video games because of that, because I never got to play. And when I did play, I would lose because I was playing my older brothers who were better at things than I was. So, of course, you get your one shot out of four or five games, and then you lose, so you're out, winner stays, plays the next challenger. So it just probably turned into a lot of crying and complaining and maybe a little fighting as well. But I would think that in these cases, being an only child is probably the best game case scenario for here. You get games to yourself. And if you do have siblings, it's maybe a little bit better if you're the oldest than the youngest. Youngest child is the worst case scenario on these. So for my rubric, I went with 3 points if the player is an only child, 2 points if you're oldest, 1 point if you're somewhere in the middle, and 0 points awarded if you're the youngest. You keep accumulated points as you go on, and the highest point total ends up being the person we choose as the Piston most likely to play in the NBA 2K tournament. Can you tell that we're on a little bit of a shutdown and maybe we're a little bit bored here in the downtown Detroit headquarters of the Locked On Pistons podcast? So another thing I was thinking about was, if you're in college, you're playing video games, right? So we know that a lot of guys didn't go to college or went to college for 1 year or 2 years. So basically, if you went to college for 4 years, that's a good thing in this exercise. So what we did is we awarded you 1 point for every year that you were in college. So another thing that I was thinking about was age, right? I mean, I'm 37 years old. I'm too old to play video games. So it got me to thinking there, what's the perfect age to be good at NBA 2K? Well, the game started out in 1999. That was the first version. Allen Iverson on the cover. I was 16. So I was kind of already out of the video game phase. Now, I'm not saying 16-year-olds can't play video games, but if you weren't playing when you were a teenager, as your later teenage years occurred and into your early adult years, if you didn't already have the bug, you weren't just going to jump on when you were 16 or when you were 19. I think this kind of thing starts, you know, more at like 11, 12, 13, probably earlier than that for most kids. So it just helps to be coming of age during video games. So with that in mind, NBA 2K, the perfect age might be 1999 if you were 10 years old at that time. So with my calculation, 31 years, it'd be the perfect age to be good at NBA 2K. But then again, I feel like video games are a bit of a young man's game. So it might not be a lot of people who are 30 plus who are playing video games. So I kind of scrapped the age as part of the point system. And then I thought about this. The most important thing for whether NBA players would be playing video games, are they married, right? Fellas, I mean, I hear that the video gamers out there, you get married, the wife, probably not a huge fan of that. So any marriage that a guy, if you're a married guy in the Pistons, I'm docking you 1 point right there. And each kid that you have, because Lord knows, probably not a whole lot of time for video games when you got the kids running around, that minus 1 point for each kid that you have. So those are kind of the rubrics that we went through. We plugged the numbers in, all the information that I could find on the internet. For example, we had Blake Griffin. He is younger than his older brother, Taylor Griffin, that he played with at Oklahoma, who now serves as one of his representatives. So you get 0 points for that. Only 2 years of college. So you only get 2 points for that. Although we did give him an extra point, bonus point, because of some of the injuries he's had. He's probably had to sit and kill time a lot. But Blake Griffin's got two kids, so that's a problem there as well. Blake Griffin only ended up with 1 point accumulated by him there. Some other notable names on the list, Derrick Rose. Man, I just went pretty much zero off the top for him. Grew up in kind of a chaotic atmosphere on the south side of Chicago. Grew up poor as well. Played basketball with every bit of his free time. I'm reading his book. So not any video games mentioned there. So Derrick Rose is a complete zero. Langston Galloway is a guy who is out there on the shoe design. He's out there on social media wishing the first responders and medical workers the best of wishes and thanks. He's one of these guys that you could see being in these kind of situations. Langston is married with a kid, though, so that kind of hurt him with his numbers. Bruce Brown is an interesting one because he's kind of in that age range of possible video gamers, but he only went to college for 2 years at Miami. That hurts him. And the other biggest thing that hurts him, Bruce Brown's got 10 siblings. So for a number of reasons, that ain't happening. I mean, maybe that family didn't have video games, or maybe how do you possibly grab the joysticks when you've got 10 siblings? So he's off the list right away. Kyrie Thomas, right in that age group as well, left Creighton 1 year early. That hurts him, although the injury time he had this year with the Pistons helps. But he grew up in Omaha and then spent 1 year at Fork Union Military Academy in Virginia in high school. Something tells me he ain't playing a lot of video games in Military Academy. We know Sekou basically a teenager at 19 years old still. He moved from Guinea to France at 1 year old with his mom and three siblings to a small apartment in France. Single mom, three siblings. I don't know. To me, that kind of disqualified him as well. Probably don't have video games in that small apartment, I'm guessing. And really, to me, it came down to Svi, like I hypothesized, and Christian Wood, like Antti Bizzle talked about. Svi, though, has 4 years at Kansas. Christian Wood, only 2 years at UNLV. And we know that Lawrence, Kansas, and Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's more likely that the Kansas basketball players were sitting somewhere playing video games than the Runnin' Rebels in Las Vegas with their free time. Let's just put it that way. So I did it scientifically, and it met my head with my heart. Svi Mykhailiuk is my guess for the Piston. If anyone who's going to be in the NBA 2K League bracket, it's going to be him. But up next, I got more with Mike Richmond of Locked On Blazers. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, sports have come to a screeching halt with basketball benched and pitchers off the mound, but our friends at MyBookie are not going to let it get you down. Stay sane and stay entertained with access to your favorite games like blackjack, roulette, slots, war, and more. It doesn't matter whether you're out in the front lines or quarantined at home, the fun doesn't have to come to an end with MyBookie. Video poker, not your thing, but you still need a fix. They've got you covered with a host of live casino dealers online. That's right. They have professional dealers at their tables live on site 24/7. Your favorite squad sidelined because of the pandemic? Don't even sweat it. MyBookie has partnered with some of the leading esports brands to bring you wagers on virtual action straight from the court in NBA 2K20. Plus, you can always do your part to make your bankroll great again by taking advantage of shifting odds on political bets. You can trust the industry leader in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they play fast. You can trust the industry leaders in times like these. They're reliable, upright, and best of all, they pay fast when you win. Visit mybookie.ag and use promo code LOCKEDONNBA for a 100% bonus on your first casino deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to receive a 100% cash bonus on your first deposit, and you can claim those extra funds all the way up to $750. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. You spin, you win, you get paid.
Yes, sir!
All right. Still past first point guard. Still Locked On Blazers. Still Mike Richmond. We're still chatting here with Matt Shook of Locked On Pistons, talking about Game 5 of the 1990 NBA Finals in a retro rewatch. Matt, you asked me how the Blazers are perceived in sort of the Blazer fandom memory. Before I get into that, what is sort of the outside perception of this Blazer team and how they kind of fit in the echelon of teams that made the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, obviously, like you said, you get back to the finals in 92, you play the Bulls there, and it's a team, and you really think about the Rasheed Wallace era, which comes later, where you get to the conference finals twice. I actually didn't remember that they had gone twice during that era. It lost my memory that they got swept by the Spurs the year before, the famous series against the Lakers in seven games there because of that lockout shortage, right? Era that maybe gets forgotten by time a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the Portland, and obviously there was the one magical season way back in the 70s with Bill Walton. But then you have this team that gets there, that you know, this is a series that's only five games, but it could go either way on at the end of some shots at the end of each of the games. And then you have the Scottie Pippen, Rasheed Wallace era that comes later. I mean, in terms of stacking it up, and I think about it in, you know, my own perception of the Detroit Tigers, Miguel Cabrera getting to the World Series a couple times, losing to the Cardinals, losing to the Padres, or losing to the Cardinals, and then later losing to the Giants. Yeah. And then, you know, it's like, man, such good times. We remember it so fondly, but it's like,
at the end of the day, the Tigers still haven't won a championship since 1984, and there's a little bit of that emptiness, a little bit of, it's a little bit of regret that they weren't able to finish it off. Do you have those kind of feelings? I'm sure to some extent, but is it as overwhelming as that is, or are people a little bit more positive about this era and just remember the good parts?
I think it's far enough removed that people are positive about it. Obviously, the thing that is like so prevalent in Blazerland is, what if Sabonis came over? You know, what if Sabonis was on these teams? Then if you talk to most Blazer fans, they are convinced that this is a four-time world champion. Easy money, right? Like, they easily beat the young Jordan Bulls, no problem. Sabonis definitely would have solved that one. He would have guarded him and not let him hit six threes in game one.
That seems
a little wild to me. They were very good, and adding Sabonis would have made them incredible, particularly young Sabonis. But I generally think that there are three sort of hallowed eras, and we're in a fourth one now of Blazer fandom. The 77 team, there is no team that had a shorter run that is more appreciated in the world of the NBA than the 77 and then 78 Blazers. Walton gets hurt and then he's gone, but this is an all-time great team and treated as such by the fandom. This era is just really special, particularly for sort of people of our generation, Matt, is that this is the team, like you said, this is your early childhood memories. This is the team that people grew up watching and loving, and Clyde was the star for sort of the people who are our age. And then it's that era of Sheed and the sort of like pre-Jailblazers, losing game seven of the 2007 Western Conference Finals. We won't rewatch that one, promise. I just think that these are just. Because the Blazers have won championship, but they've also been successful for pretty much 35 years. They've been a competitive team for almost every fan who's roughly my age's lifetime. Then these teams are really appreciated and truly celebrated. I don't think people, I don't think there's as much pain. I don't think there's the what if. I think part of Blazer fandom is always the like, well, you know, we were pretty darn good. Like, I'll appreciate it. I might be wrong. So if you Blazer listeners, if I've totally mischaracterized you, you know where to find me.
And you know what? Let me just throw a blanket statement over these two cities. I just think that Portland is a happier place. And I think people aren't calling sports radio stations like they maybe do in Detroit and have those sports radio hosts that fill up all this negative energy around here. And that we're going to dwell on the fact that Justin Verlander and Miguel Cabrera didn't win a World Series, as opposed to appreciating the fact that, you know, you're just watching a good basketball team and the Blazers night in and night out. These are guys that give a crap. These are guys that Lillard and McCollum are easy guys to root for, easy guys to like. And I gotta admit, I'm pretty envious of that. And I think that might be a little bit of my kind of personalizing of what I think when I watch a Blazers team that was obviously a great team but didn't quite get it done in the finals.
I think there's like an identity of Blazer fandom that is not getting over the hump, you know? It's like teams that didn't make it. I think that it sort of plays into the identity. So I don't think people resent it as much as they just like accept it as fate. I want to ask you, you mentioned the 04 Pistons team, and this is, you know, this era of Pistons, this was their third straight trip to the finals. Is this the best version of that early 90s, late 80s team? Do you think of this? Is this third run the best version that they were?
No, I think the second team that just swept the Lakers, and I know, you know, Magic goes down with an injury. Byron Scott goes down with an injury, too. So, you know, they're not a sweep of the Lakers good in 89. But the fact that they had Rick Mahorn and you just kind of sprinkle him on to an already good roster. Now, obviously, Rodman gets better in this season, and he's injured in this playoffs. He's not great in this finals, but during, you know, his defensive player of the year this year. So he improves and kind of makes up for the absence of Mahorn a little bit there. But yeah, I just think the 89 team was the best group, really. But as far as eras, when you mentioned 04, the Bad Boys, and I know that a lot of listeners of Locked On Pistons don't, you know, they weren't alive for the Bad Boys. It's a lot of 20-somethings that are listening to the show. So, you know, and to me, you know, I'm in college when the going to work team wins over the Lakers, surprises everyone by the five game sweep, famously as it's referred to here in Michigan. So, and obviously beating Kobe and Shaq is a whole nother thing that you feel good about altogether. But I just think that the Bad Boys, I mean, you go to three straight finals, you win two titles as opposed to going to two straight finals and winning one title. There's a clear delineation. Isaiah's an all-time great in the NBA. Chauncey Billups and Ben Wallace are very good players.
For whatever reason, no one from the 04 Pistons can get into the Hall of Fame.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's like almost the collective strength of the team kind of hurts these individual players and their perception. Now, you know, the hope is that Ben Wallace gets in eventually.
Sheed should get in.
Sheed. Yeah, like you said, two, you know, distinct eras and carrying a Portland team and then being the last piece of a puzzle and obviously such a hugely important piece for the 2004 Pistons too. And been a colorful character too, which is a good thing for the game to have. And obviously maybe the temper should have been toned down a little bit during games, but yeah, I mean, I think that, factually, it's just clear that the Bad Boys were one step ahead of the going to work era in what they were able to accomplish. And plus, consider the fact that, yeah, you go to six straight Eastern Conference Finals with the going to work era, but that's a worse Eastern Conference than this NBA of powerhouses in the late 80s, early 90s that the Bad Boys had to deal
with. That was a rough time in the East. You know, there was two very, very good teams in that era, and they kept beating the Pacers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and then the Pacers beat themselves in 04 and 05.
Exactly.
Famously as well.
I think for the same question for the Blazers, like, is this the best version of them? I think the 92 version is better. Obviously, you missed Drazen, but you add Danny Ainge, who's just a dude who wins basketball games and did it for a long time everywhere he went. Huge addition off the bench. You get a better version of Cliff Robinson. Obviously, you're getting a little older. Everyone's a little older. This team's already fairly veteran in 1990, and Buck Williams would be a 10-year vet by then. Drexler's 8 years in. He's a little deeper. This is probably his true athletic prime in 1990. But I think the 92 team is a little bit better. Just a little bit deeper, and they were so shallow anyways that just adding a couple more competent players off the bench, Robert Pack and Danny Ainge, and a much better version of Cliff Robinson, that 92 team is way better.
Yeah, and just a couple things before we sign off here.
Hit me with your notes.
Love the rec specs from Buck Williams.
Yeah,
good
Buck
stuff.
Williams
Buck
Williams is a secret hunk. Hunk who wears the rec specs, okay? So if you're someone who has the ball and rec specs, don't let it slow you down, because Buck Williams, secret hunk.
I wore them for a couple years.
There you go.
When I was a teenager, so I know it's all about. Couldn't touch my eyes to get the contacts in, so I had to do that. And we've talked, you know, several times about Cliffy Robinson, an important player for the Pistons later on in his career as well.
A dude who played forever.
Yeah, and was a very good player for the Pistons, too. We're doing the most significant Pistons of all time, 64-person bracket. Uncle Cliffy just missed. He didn't get on the 64, but you could certainly make an argument that he belongs there, was part of that era that kind of preceded the going-to-work era and brought the Pistons from a non-playoff team to a second-round type of team. And so a lot of good feelings for Cliff Robinson here in Detroit as well.
Yeah. The other thing I want to talk about is, I don't know if you saw this on the YouTube video you watched, was that they did a whole montage of how quickly Chuck Daly gets dressed before these games.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah, that was a weird one. I did see that. James Brown was searching for stories as the sideline reporter there.
I'm trying to imagine the equivalent for now. Like, what coach would NBA players be, or NBA fans be most excited to see get dressed?
Yeah, I guess before it would have been probably Rick Pitino back when he was coaching in the NBA. But yeah, I don't know who the standard of style is right now throughout the league. But Daddy Rich, obviously, Chuck Daly, Jack McCloskey, and Bill Davidson, the GM and the owner, respectively, after Chuck, obviously. We've lost those guys, all passed away, but remembered fondly in Pistons lore. And fortunately, all the Pistons are still around. You know, there's still guys that come around and come to games. Mm-hmm. All the Bad Boys are still with us, and some of them doing radio color commentary and Isaiah and his business pursuits. So, that's a fortunate thing that thankfully the Pistons fandom kind of has. Those guys are still around in their late 50s, early 60s as well.
Yeah, I think one of the weird dark clouds hanging over this era is that Clyde Drexler does not associate with the organization. Mm-hmm. He views himself as a Rocket, which is cool. He lives in Houston. He declined to come to 90s night when they did like Decades Night this year during the season, and he chose not to come, which is really something. Kevin Duckworth and Jerome Kersey have passed away, but Terry Porter, who's the coach at the University of Portland, was there. But no Drexler, and it's really weird because he's like I said, at worst, he's the third best player in the history of the franchise, and he's probably the best right now, but he doesn't associate with him. And I think that is a strange, I don't know what exactly the right word is, but it's definitely makes this era a little bit more awkward.
Yeah, yeah, and the first basket of the game scored by Portland was Duckworth, and the second basket was Kersey. So yeah, those were the first thoughts that came to my mind when I was sat down to watch this game. But one question for you about the current Blazers. We've talked about it. This is a team that went to the conference finals. This is a team that has having a disappointing season right now. But do you feel like, and maybe this is, again, my rings or nothing viewpoint of sports, which is probably overblown and
I probably
true,
share that with you, so I'm the right audience for this.
Yeah, I mean, are they like, do you feel like that this is a team that needs to make one big trade, you know, and add a third piece, or is this like a preach the patience and see what Simons turns into and all that kind of stuff?
Well, yeah, I'm not a big believer in him turning into a superstar. Mm-hmm. I think he could end up being a really good basketball player, but to me, Damian Lillard's going to turn 30 this summer. It's the time is now. So
yeah.
I don't think we'll look back, and if this team doesn't play in an NBA Finals, we'll say that, you know, they weren't good. They're going to end up having 4 or 5 50-win seasons. Maybe not that many. They have 3 right now. 2 right now. So, yeah, they're going to end up with 3 or 4 50-win seasons in Dame's tenure. They're going to have made the Western Conference Finals. A lot of their losses in the playoffs are against a Golden State Warriors team that we're going to look back as one of the greatest to ever do it. So I think with time, with distance, we'll appreciate this era. But I think there should be, if you fancy yourself a championship team, you got to do it now.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, not to blow smoke, but Dame Lillard, just fantastic. Love watching the guy play. They're my Western Conference team that I root for. And really, if I'm being honest, in Pistons included in this equation, Dame Lillard's probably my favorite player in the entire NBA right now, just because the Pistons are where they are and there's not much to root for. If Blake Griffin, you know, played like he did last season, he might rise up to that top of the list. But what a treat to watch Dame Lillard, especially what he did to Westbrook in the playoffs last year. What a great time and what a great kind of crescendo of the career so far for Lillard to have those moments like he did last year.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back to watching real basketball again. I enjoyed watching the 90s finals, but I would love to watch sort of the 2020 playoffs if we ever
that
get
would
there.
Be nice. That would yeah. be nice.
Matt, thank you so much for joining us. This was a lot of fun. We should, I don't know if we'll be able to find a crossover again soon, but if we can get a good one, we should do it.
Absolutely. Thanks for everyone to listening. Check me out on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. And we got a Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check that out too. And thanks, Mike, for that. Really appreciate taking the time and enjoying this game and putting up with the fact that obviously it's a tough one. It's a loss for the Blazers. But I think a collectively great series and a collectively great moment in time for the NBA history.
Absolutely. And all Locked On Blazers listeners, you know where to find me. Do me a favor, tell your friends about this podcast. They can get it wherever they already get podcasts. Appreciate you listening. Talk to you soon.
Thanks again to Mike Richman of Locked On Blazers for joining us and talking about the 1990 NBA Finals. I know that I teased that I'd be talking about Dwayne Casey and Ed Stefanski and their quotes from the last few days, but I'm going to push that till tomorrow's show just because I went long, as we usually do here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.